I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. In a moment, we remember soul singer Tina Marie. She died over the weekend. But first, good food and the holidays. Those who can't make it home may be preparing some of the meals or dishes that remind them of home. And if home is South Carolina's southernmost coastal area, the Lowcountry there, then that means the unique Gullah style. Gullah incorporates elements of the heritage of the enslaved Africans who were brought to the shores of the Carolinas, Georgia, and Florida. And while remnants of that life remain in the craftsmanship of basket weaving and ironwork and the Gullah language, the aspect of the culture that probably shines most brightly is the food. Washington, D.C.'s Eatonville restaurant wanted to let its customers in on the flavor and culture of Gullah-style food, so the executive chef of Eatonville decided to share his kitchen with one of the most celebrated Gullah chefs. Here to tell us more are both chefs, Garrett Fleming of Eatonville Restaurant in Washington, D.C. He happens to be a native of Charleston, South Carolina. And also with us, Charlotte Jenkins, head chef and co-owner of the restaurant Gullah Cuisine in Mount Pleasant, South Carolina. She's also author of a book titled Gullah Cuisine. Welcome to you both. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Chef Jenkins, tell us a little bit more about Gullah Cuisine. Just give us a little bit of a flavor of what kinds of foods would be typical of Gullah Cuisine.
On our vegetable stuff, we do collards. And we do that in two different styles. We do it with the ham hock, and also we do it with like a vegetarian. We have a signature rice called Gullah rice. It's a rice based on my mom cooked years ago. We did a yard chicken, and we stew it, and we make a rice, and it's called a flavored rice. And this flavored rice is now turned into Gullah rice, which is shrimp, chicken, and sausage. And vegetables, has carrots and green pepper, and that's our signature rice at the restaurant.
What do you think characterizes Gullah cooking, per se? If you just landed on this planet and didn't know anything else, how would you know you were eating Gullah cuisine?
Because of the intercoastal way, well, the seafood, definitely, and rice, because of the rice plantation. Also, the flavor. It's a more seasoning.
I know you don't want to tell us your secrets, but what seasonings?
Well, the basic seasoning, garlic, onions, pepper, those are the three seasoning can make anything taste good if you apply it right. Don't overdo it.
Now, Chef Fleming, as we mentioned, you grew up in South Carolina. So did you grow up eating Gullah cooking?
We always heard about Gullah cooking kind of as whispered. It meant a different way of eating than kind of what was referred to as low country cuisine.
Now, what's the difference?
We've had actually several discussions. It's a complicated issue, but they both use the same kind of bounties of local fish, rice, corn. It's just the influence of which culture upon the same ingredients. For instance, Mrs. Jenkins, her restaurant is called Gullah Cuisine, and it kind of epitomizes what is Gullah cuisine, and that draws from a very serious African root. And I think Lowcountry draws from African influence, particularly what they brought to the region in terms of culinary techniques and seasonings, but it's still much more European-based. But they have almost exactly the same dishes through and throughout. It's just, I don't know, the differences are subtle and many.
Well, how about that, Mrs. Jenkins? Does that ever bug you that you feel people are claiming to be Gullah-inspired or serving Gullah cuisine and they're not? Is there anybody you want to call out?
No, not at this point, because, you know, I look at it like this. When we were brought back from Africa and we were on the plantation, we prepare food for the Europeans. And their diet and our diet come together. So we use some of their food. They use our type of food. The only thing is that if you're going to do it, if you're going to cook in the Gullah style, just do it right. Make it taste right. That's all my feelings of it. We can't take it back.
Chef Fleming, I was wondering, one of the interesting things about your sort of teaming up here is that you're both used to eating traditional foods of the region, but you're both also classically trained. You've both been to culinary school, and that's, I think, a lot of people are more familiar now with the whole concept of culinary school than they might have been, say, a decade ago, because there have been these reality shows that involve cooking, and a lot of people kind of opened the door to the kitchen. But is there ever a conflict, or do you ever feel like a tension between the way you're taught to cook growing up and then what you're taught in school, or have those rules relaxed? I don't know, Chef Jenkins, do you want to start?
Yes, the rules are totally different in school. Everything is done different. And I found while attending culinary school, the food is seasoning that was hard for me to reckon with because I was taught one way. And for instance, like with gravy, I think gravy is a sauce, you know, but the way we do it, it's a gravy, you know, with a flour base and onions and everything. But with the sauce, you know, you make a roux, and that's totally different.
Did you ever feel like you were made to be wrong?
No.
I do have to say, Chef, and I don't want to tell your age, you know, because ladies don't tell their age. But there were not a huge number of women at the time that you went to culinary school who were had the opportunity for the kind of classical training that you have had. And do you think that's fair to say? And also, you're a pioneer, is I guess what I'm saying. Women and African American women. And did you ever feel like you were made to be wrong, like you had to play by those rules in order to be accepted?
Definitely. Because first of all, it was a second career. I decided to do it. Most of the students in my class, they were much younger. And they didn't think the way I do, and they didn't prepare their meal the way I do. And most of the time, the chef would say, well, you know, that's your way, but do it my way.
Well, what about you, Chef Fleming? I guess I don't know. You came along in a different era. You're on the younger end of the continuum. But did you ever feel like, in a way, you were being sort of taught to turn against your roots when you went to culinary school?
I don't think so. I see the reasons. I think first and foremost, I was classically trained, and so it's strange to go back to dishes that I ate growing up. And then see, you know, there's no French way to do fried chicken. But I did see that in culinary school, there were many kind of cultures that have different ways of cooking things. For instance, I had a Ghanaian chef where you usually take off the fat off sauces or soups or anything like that. It's called dépouillage. But in all his soups and stocks, he said, you know, in Africa, you would never do that. You just mix it back in because that kind of carries the flavor. It's very French. So there are... Since classical training is technically French-based, there are a lot of distinctions between doing things the right way, one way, and doing things that are culturally the right way.
If you're just joining us, this is Tell Me More from NPR News. I'm Michelle Martin, and I'm speaking with chefs Garrett Fleming and Charlotte Jenkins, and we're talking about Gullah cuisine. Eatonville, by the way, tell us a little bit about the history of Eatonville. It's named because it's what?
Zora Neale Hurston's hometown in Florida, which was historically the first black town in all of America, and in turn kind of is meant to celebrate the culture and the history, particularly the cuisine of that region, being the Southeast. So it's really meant to, if you ever get a chance to go to Eatonville, it's covered with beautiful murals, not quite as beautiful as the book that Miss Jenkins has if you page through, but they're very beautiful murals, and it kind of draws you back into this very southern, strange atmosphere that's a great place to work and a great place to eat.
Okay. Yeah. Tell me about your chef. How is it exciting for you now to, first of all, to be an executive chef at your age is that's an achievement, so congratulations on that. But what do you think that people who are not exposed to this cuisine will learn to enjoy about it? What do you hope to bring them?
I think particularly at Eatonville, I think that people have gotten, not at Eatonville, that people have gotten the concept that Southern food is generic, but I think people in general have that concept that there are a couple of dishes and they lump soul food, Gullah food, Low Country, New Orleans, all of those things are lumped together. And so if you see a shrimp and grits plate, you're going to see fried chicken, you're going to see gumbo, you're going to see, I mean, they're all kind of mushed together, and it's this generic Southern food. I believe that any restaurant that has kind of a genuine presence has focus and direction towards a specific region or at least a specific type of cuisine from that region. And at Eatonville, I really want to focus our efforts in really exploring through the history and the culture specific cuisine, and that is of the Low Country.
Chef Jenkins, did you ever fear that this heritage would disappear?
That's why I'm trying to keep the Gullah cuisine open, because, yeah, it's a possibility, because people's eating style are changing. And not to say that the food that we prepare is not healthy for you, but it's the way it's prepared. And we are working on changing some of those stuff, like with the collards, remove the ham hock, remove the pork on some of the dishes, and people have choice. Now, you have people that if you don't have that in there, they don't want it. So, you know, we'll have to do it. You know, you can have it for the people who are vegetarian and the people who eat meat. So I think that it should be that way.
Chef, final question. Chef Fleming, final question for you, too. Do you, on the one hand, there's been a revived interest in American cooking, locally produced foods, you know, artisanal foods. We've seen a lot of that in recent years. People are focusing on the food that's available in their own communities. You know, on the other hand, there are some of these sort of heritage foods where people are saying, you know, enough with that. It's too heavy. Mm-hmm. I don't have time for that. You know, that kind of thing. I'm wondering if you are concerned at all that this particular food heritage will at some point be, you know, pass away.
No. I think as long as there's cheese and pig and, you know, corn, that people will necessarily come and eat shrimp and grits and bacon, and they'll cure their own pigs, and they'll serve them because it's delicious. Of course, we try and get more people intrigued with the cuisine that we do by offering, you know, making dishes vegetarian, as Mrs. Jenkins was saying, because we can do that and make them flavorful still. And I think as long as we do that without sacrificing the idea behind the dish, then we'll keep people entertained in what we do.
I'm interested in how the collaboration will go in, because just to let people in on it, I mean, the fact is you are a senior diva, Chef Jenkins and Chef Fleming, you know, you're a young white guy, and here you are mm-hmm. bringing your skills together in the kitchen. It's not going to be kind of like Iron Chef. You're not, like, competing.
No.
But I am interested in how this collaboration will go. Like jazz? You think it'll be like jazz? Do you think it'll be like, what do you think? How's it gonna work out?
Well, I think, at least from my end, just like in jazz, people, if they play the same instrument, there's often a deference shown almost immediately towards a person with more experience and skill. So, and then one person plays the rhythm, the other one takes the lead. And this is absolutely going to happen in our kitchen over the weekend. I've always heard about Mrs. Jenkins throughout my time in Charleston cooking. And it was, her restaurant was known as, you know, it's, I think in New York, when people are asked, like a lot of top chefs, like, where do you go out? What's your secret thing? What's your secret food, favorite food? Jean Georges, and people are saying, oh, it's hot dog, this hot dog stand here, everything there. And there are hot dog stand places, but they're secret places that chefs never really let other people know that they go. And Mrs. Jenkins, out of all the chefs that I knew in downtown Charleston, all of them go to Gullah.
Okay.
All of them.
Secrets out.
Yeah,
his
boss is a regular.
That's true. My old head chef.
Yeah. Your old head chef. Yeah.
Charlotte Jenkins is owner and head chef at Gullah Cuisine. It's in Mount Pleasant, South Carolina, along with your husband, I think.
Frank Jenkins.
She's the author of the book Gullah Cuisine by Land and by Sea. And she's this weekend bringing her Gullah style cooking to Washington, D.C.'s Eatonville restaurant. Garrett Fleming is executive chef at Eatonville. They were kind enough to stop by our Washington, D.C. studio. Thank you so much, and happy New Year to you both.
Happy New Year to you.
Thank you.